Now for my message that I leave with you. From Romans in the 14th chapter and verse number 4, not taking it out of its context, but simply to be able to use it as a basis of my farewell message to you today and what I want to say to you and the things that I have said that have been more or less in the natural will never take the place of the things of the Word of God. This is the most essential, most important thing in your life is the Bible and what it has to say to you and I and what we do about what it has to say. And so that fourth verse really, it doesn't mean that much really to you until I show you what I mean by my message to you. He said, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand." I want only to call your attention to one little word that should be of great help to you. And that little word is the word able, if you note it in the scripture that I read to you. And I will try to show you what God is able to do. First of all, God is able to make you stand. The God that can create a world like this and call it from nothing into existence. The God that can create life with a word. He certainly can cause you and I to stand by His mighty power. For He was able to make Moses stand when Moses was exposed to the mighty temptations of Egypt. God was able to make Elijah stand before that great wicked king Ahab. God enabled Daniel to stand in Babylon when the whole city was against him. And I believe the Apostle Paul wrote this text out of his own experience. God held him up and God made him stand. So let me warn you not to put your strength in yourself. You cannot stand alone. But God, and I want you to get these words, but God will give you power and keep you from falling because God is able, that not one of you should be lost. So if you this morning could erase that thought out of your mind and let it quit haunting you, that God is able to make you stand. You hear the expression so many times, "I don't think I'm able to face that," or "I don't think I'm able to do that." But my friend, none of us are worthy. None of us are able in ourselves, but through God and His grace in our lives, He is able to make us face or stand in any situation or set of circumstances. Next, I want you to notice in Hebrews the 2nd chapter and verse 18, "For in that He Himself hath suffered, being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted." No blessed thought that God Himself stood these temptations. And I believe that trials and temptations are sent to give us character. We don't want any hothouse Christians. Shut up from the world and never tempted or never tried. I almost sent my son when he became the school age to a Christian school because I wanted, or I thought that I wanted for a little while, to try to shield him from any and everything that I possibly could shield him from. And in prayer before God, this came to me so forcibly that God is able to succor them. And this, they're tempted. And this word Socrates ministers unto them and likens it as a mother that takes her baby, though she may be destitute of food herself. She is able to succor that baby until that baby is completely satisfied. And here's what God is saying to us. So in prayer, God changed my mind. And I said, no, I'll send him where every other boy or girl goes so that he can meet the world face to face. He can see what is there. But in the meantime, I'm going to be behind him in prayer that God will succor him and give him the strength and the courage to meet every one of those trials and temptations, and that he might grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when he's out there on his own, he'll be able to take his stand and face the issues of the day. And I believe this day as I leave you that God wants to do that same thing for you as Christian men and women, to give you the strength and the courage. Praise God. So that's my reason of saying that we don't want any hothouse Christians. You know, if one of these hothouse Christians would have been out in the last few days, he would have been like some of the bushes in my backyard. His head would have been drooped when the trial and the temptation hit him. But we want men battling bravely against the very powers of the devil. And I pray you not to get discouraged, but to go to God in prayer, because he is able to succor you in the hour of temptation. Then I want you to note with me further in 2 Timothy, the first chapter and verse number 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now you bear in mind that you cannot keep your own soul, but he will keep it for us. And nothing can keep you or separate you from the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are committed. The Apostle Paul, when he read this text to us, he gave the scripture to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You read over that so many times, but he said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed. Oh, may God this morning give us that desirous Christian men and women to commit ourselves into the hands of God. And God, through Christ Jesus, can only keep that you have committed. That you hold back, my friend, God cannot, he does not even promise that he will keep it. But oh, glory be to God this morning. He said that I have committed, he is able to keep it for his praise, honor, and glory. Then I would have you note and number 4, 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. Now this brings us into the vineyard. First of all, he's able to make you to stand. Secondly, he's able to succor you or to feed you or to give you strength that you may need. And thirdly, he is able to keep us. And now he tells us in this scripture that we're to go out into the vineyard and begin to work. There is nothing this morning that God has called us to do, but that he will give us the grace to do it. There's nothing that God has called you to do, my friend, but that he will give you the power to do it, only if you will have committed it into the hands of God. Hallelujah. Regardless of what the circumstances may be, regardless of what the conditions may be, if you know that God has laid his hand upon you and has called you into that particular field or labor, whatever may be, my friends, remember this, that if it's committed to God, God is able to give the grace and God is able to give the power. Thank God for you to get the job done. Oh, glory to God. God has saved every one of you for a purpose, to work for God. And I want you to see this by an illustration that I remember passing on to you this morning, the picture of a woman coming up out of the water as she'd been put under the water with both arms around the cross. And you say, my, but that looks beautiful. But I got a glimpse of another picture in this same illustration, of a woman coming up out of the waters of death. And she had one arm around the cross, and with the other arm, she was reaching down, my friend, to so many other people around about her, and trying with the other arm to lift them up to the cross where she was. A good many Christians today have both arms clasped tightly around the cross, but they have no concern for those that are struggling round about them. And so I'm asking you, as I leave you, my friends, to take one of those arms today loose from that cross. Hold on if you may or will with the other, but reach down to that fallen man. Reach down to that fallen woman. Reach down to that fallen boy. Go down to that fallen girl, my friends, instead of ridicule and criticism. Thank God, hold on to the cross and reach down with the other one, even as Jesus did when he died for us, and lift them up to where you are. Lift them up into the divine presence of God, for this is the need of this world that you and I live in today, is some compassion through the love of Jesus Christ in the church of the living God today, that is willing, my friend, thank God, to go that second mile and reach down and pick up that that is fallen and that that is gone astray and bring it back into the fold of God's kingdom. And as I preach to you this morning, my friend, God is able to help you do that. God is able to help you go with that one hand this morning if needs be and bind up that wound. Go out there and find that one lost sheep that is not here in the service this morning, that one that needs some help so badly from God today. Go find it, my friends. Thank God, hold of the cross as you do and lift him up, my friends, again, until the Spirit and the power and the vibrant love of Jesus fills that heart afresh and anew, and they have a new glimpse and a new outlook upon life and a new faith will grip their hearts, and they'll pick up their cross and carry it on with you. I want you to note the fifth thing that I leave with you in Romans chapter 4, verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. I want to impress upon you that God is able to do all that he has promised. He promised to give us salvation. And thank God we're rejoicing in it this morning. He promised to give us healing for our mortal bodies. And thank God I'm rejoicing in it this morning. I've been there. But I'm also here now. Praise God. Don't get discouraged if you don't get healed the first little prayer you pray. Don't get discouraged if it don't come the first week. Don't get discouraged, Sister Byro, if it don't come the first year. Don't get discouraged Thank God, for he's still on the throne, and only God in heaven himself knows, my friend, what he is doing and what he wants to work out in and through you or me or whoever it may be. Glory to God. Oh, just keep holding on with that bulldog tenacity, my friend, because God, I want you to know through Jesus this morning, is concerned with your suffering, is concerned with your weak heart, is concerned with your high blood pressure. He is concerned with your rheumatics. He is concerned with your cancer. He is concerned, my friend, of whatever that need may be. And he is more than that. He is able, thank God, to speak the word through the authority and power of the Spirit this morning and make you as well as you ever was in your life. Praise God. There's nothing impossible with God. And he is saying again here in the book of Romans, he is able. But we want to dictate to God how for him to do this sometimes. He is able to fill us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Every one of you that don't have the baptism could be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit almost like that. Right where you're sitting, you wouldn't even have to get up out of the seat. You might have to raise your hand up in a sign of surrender. But the reason sometimes that we haven't been filled is that we won't raise the hand of surrender. But when you're filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, brother, sister, he has to have every bit of you. Amen? And I wouldn't have time to elaborate on it, but I trust that God will fill you today. Praise God. And last, he promises to come and receive us unto himself. And that's the last great event on God's great calendar. We've enjoyed salvation and healing and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But there's one more great event that's going to transpire. And it's going to be most magnificent. When that angel steps out on the balconies of heaven and sounds that trumpet so loud until it wakes up the dead, and the Holy Spirit quickens you and I, thank God, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we are changed and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, you talk about we'll not have to be going through what we're going through right now. You won't have to kind of rummage through the house and see this thing and say, well, I should throw it away, but so-and-so gave it to me, and it's so dear that I just can't hardly do it, you know. And the first thing you know, you've got more than you can haul, you know, or do anything else with. We won't have to do that. Moving day, thank God, that is going to be a joy when that takes place in our hearts and lives. You know, Joshua said in Joshua the 23rd chapter, verse 14, and behold, this day I'm going the way of all of the earth. And you know in all of your hearts and all of your souls that not one thing has failed of all of the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Praise God for these promises. And then number 6, Ephesians 3 and 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all of the ages, world without end. Amen. When we came to Covina almost, well, it was 17 years, 9 months ago, the night that you had the banquet, we was in Oklahoma City that night. And so it is 17 years, 9 months yesterday that we arrived. And we did not dare expect half of the good things that God had in store for us. But God, He is able to keep you from falling, praise God. He is able to do exceedingly, set abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And if there's been any accomplishments at Covina, I refuse credit. It must be given to God. It belongs to Him. If there's any glory, it must belong to Jesus. It is not mine. I am just His servant, you are just His servant, and we're passing through. Number 7, Jude 24 said, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." Able to keep you from falling. You say, how is He able? He gives you the picture in Isaiah 41 verse 13. "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee, and I will keep thee." Now, my friends, if God is holding your right hand, I just want to ask you, how are you going to fall? He said, "I will hold your right hand, and I will hold you up, and I will help you." Praise God. Now, I want to ask you this morning, how can you fall if God holds your right hand? The only way you can fall is by your own intuition, is to take that hand out of the hand of God. Because God is saying to you, "I will hold it." So you'll have to pull it loose, my friend, to get it loose from there. Because otherwise, God is going to keep you, thank God, until the rapture takes place. He's going to hold you up there until it takes place, or until you go through by death, one of the two. The only way you can get loose from it or get out of it, there isn't a devil in hell, there isn't a man walking on 2 feet in this earth, or any other thing, Paul said, that can take your hand out of that hand. Only you, my friend, can make that decision or that choice. Glory to God. No wonder Jude said, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you." Oh, glory to God, from falling, hallelujah, that He may present you faultless before the throne of His glory with exceeding joy. Hallelujah. And I want to go that way. Glory to God. And now may I call. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Praise God. Now may I call your attention to a portion of Scripture, if you have your Bible, which I want to leave with you, which could possibly be the last ever read by me in this great church. From the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, and I'll begin reading from verse 17. And these are my closing remarks to you. in a few moments. From Acts chapter 20, verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Covina, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. And Paul said Asia, and I just put the word Covina there. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shewed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all of the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away many disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And this is my message I leave with you, verse 22, 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. And I have shewed you all things how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. And in leaving you, I would leave you with two W's. The one is work, and the other one is the word of God. The inner life must be clean, so that the outer life will be right. Don't fail to read your Bible. I hate to say farewell. I cannot tell you how I have enjoyed myself here. And all of the nice things that you have done for me and my family. 40 years ago, this June 1st, I gave myself to the Lord Jesus Christ for the work of souls. And I can't turn him down now. And when you pray, pray for me and my family. And let me just say in closing, go to higher things. Continue to get near to God. I read the illustration of a little child dying. And just before he died, his soul went to be with God. He asked his father if he would lift him up. And he continued to say to his father, higher and higher, Father, higher and higher. And he continued to say this until his head fell back and his spirit went to be with his Savior. And so, my friends, higher and higher. My friends, closer and closer to God. And I must leave you in his words. I merely say goodbye.